The news of President Trump's positive test for COVID-19 and subsequent hospitalization has been major news beyond just the U.S. With me via Skype for our weekly look at some of the key international stories in the coming days is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. And Rob, the coronavirus pandemic, of course, remains a significant concern globally. What are some of the top hotspots at the moment?
Well, that's right, Mark. So, of course, the world's attention, of course, has been on America. It's not just because the U.S. is out there in front in terms of the number of infections, but also because of President Trump, of course, testing positive and being admitted to the hospital. And then looking at the litany of Republicans and other people he's been in contact with and so on. This, of course, has been absolute front page news all over the world, everyone watching every twist and turn. But if you look beyond the U.S., you see, for example, that India has something like 6 million infections and 100,000 deaths. Now, those infection levels, 6 million and rising, are quite close to America's infection levels of just over 7 million. And quite a lot of people think that India will surpass the US in the next week or two. And that, by the way, is probably a big underestimate. There's probably well more than in India than that, in population of 1 billion, after all. Here in Europe, Spain has been out in front with 10,000 daily infections. But I should say that over this weekend, we've had 12,000 announced in the UK on Saturday and even more on Sunday. And that panicked people quite a lot until they realized that actually there'd been an IT glitch and that some of the numbers last week were simply not recorded officially and they were added to the weekend tally. So that's not quite as bad as all that, but still our BBC health correspondent reckons there are still some 11,000 daily new infections in the UK, and that would put us roughly on the same par as Spain. Interestingly, if you look at Italy, that was way out in front in the first wave. It is now well behind, happily, and that's largely because it's thought the people of Italy took it all very seriously and conformed to what instructions they were given. And so the fatigue you see in some other countries, you don't see so much in Italy. There are lots of other things going on regarding coronavirus. So the World Health Organization, for example, is meeting this week to assess its own response to the virus. But there's lots of different aspects and angles to coronavirus this week.
Absolutely. Well, so Rob, let's move from one ongoing story to another. And the other is the issue of migration in Europe. What plans are being discussed by EU ministers this coming week to deal with this issue, and why has it become so controversial?
It's very controversial, Mark, because migration has been a massive issue in Europe in the last few years. So Greece, Malta, Italy, Spain, all those southern European countries were getting inundated with people from North Africa, from sub-Saharan Africa, from the Middle East, from the war in Syria, the war in Afghanistan. And it was a huge year for migration. It's not as bad as that now. It's somewhat better than that now. But the issue of migration in Europe hasn't gone away and how the bloc should deal with it. So until now, they've thought that mandatory quotas would be the answer. That means that depending on your size of country, you take in X number of migrants and you resettle them. But some countries in Europe, particularly Poland and Hungary, were not happy about this. And so they were very much against the EU's policy, even though they're part of the 27-nation EU. It used to be 28 until Britain left. So you can see that actually Europe's very divided on this, and that's why new plans have been put forward, which would take away the mandatory element. And instead, each country would get $12,000 per adult migrant that they take in. So it's a sweetener, effectively. And they could either do that or they can take responsibility for a migrant, a named migrant, and be responsible for repatriating that person if that person does not get asylum where they want to in Europe. And that's why EU ministers meeting this week is so interesting, because some will be in favor of these plans and some will be against. And at a time when the EU is desperately trying to show solidarity as an economic and political bloc, Now that Britain has gone in particular, this is a major, major issue of division.
Well, that's really interesting. All right, Rob, this is, of course, Nobel Prize season. And on Friday, we will see this year's Nobel Peace Prize awarded. Who is in the running this year?
Well, this is a really fascinating one. Actually, the Nobel Prize for Medicine has already been announced this week, and it went to two Americans and one British scientist. I should just say quickly, they identified and isolated hepatitis C, which is a virus that often leads to liver cancer. It's the prime cause of liver cancer. And the judges said they've saved millions of people's lives because by identifying and isolating hepatitis C, the virus, they've been able to allow blood provisions all over the world to be screened and therefore stop the transmission of this awful virus. But on Friday, we have the Nobel Peace Prize. Interestingly, we really don't know who's in the running, but we do know how many are in the running. And that's because they do issue how many people have been nominated. And this year it's 318, 318. Wow. But we don't know who they are. We don't know who they are. And we'll find that out on Friday. But of course, the Peace Prize is the big one. Four US presidents have been given that, including President Obama, of course. I should say that for next year, and you have to nominate people by February the 1st, so somebody's nominated people for next year, 2021. I should say one of the nominees is President Trump. And that's because a right-wing politician in Norway thought that President Trump's policy in the Middle East, and particularly bringing Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain together in the Gulf, he thinks that's such a big success, thinks that that leads to world peace to such an extent that he's nominated Donald Trump for next year. So we do know that Mr. Trump is on the ticket for next year, would you believe? And if of course he got it, then he would become the fifth US president to get this. So we're looking out on Friday to see who gets it this year.
All right, we'll have to wait and see who is unveiled as the big winner on Friday. That is the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones in London. Rob, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
And to you, Mark. Thanks so much.